Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We want to thank God for another day of being here. Happy post-Labor Day, folks. I know all of you are probably still sitting holding your guts from yesterday's barbecue. Well, I had a nice quiet day without children because my children went to the New York Labor Day parade with their grandmother. Thank God for grandmothers. Thank God. All right. Before we get started, we are up to 11,107 listeners. I want to thank every single one of you that's out there. You know the drill. You are out there in the archives. A lot of you are now listening in live. A lot more of you are listening in live. A lot of you are podcasting us. A lot of you are out there hitting Twitter and Facebook on the stream. We are so blessed and so honored to have that happen. And hopefully we'll get to hear more from all of you that are listening. You can hear more of what you have to say and what the show has done for you. We are happy to welcome the new artists that have listed with us on the OTE market page. And now we're going to go into our shout-outs. Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York. Now with iSoulRadio.com with Jay Dixon, you can hear Barry spin his magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. And he is also CEO of Track One Entertainment, the pioneer of all those great R&B events that you see happening all across these great venues in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Anytime you see a flyer posted on Facebook with Barry Mason or Track One Entertainment on there, you better hit them up quick because them tickets go fast and you never disappoint it when you get into one of those events with Barry. Also over to my divas, Stephanie Hammond-Tillette, Marcia Morgan, Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment. They too have some great events going on. You can see them on Facebook at all times. I want to thank all of you for allowing me to be a part of your team. Barry, definitely for you helping us here on the Edge show with our team. So today we are going to be talking about Beauty is the Beast, the effects of the removal of school arts on our children's self-esteem. I bet you nobody thought of it that way, huh? Everybody's talking about just the children don't have anything to do. Well, I went to and fro among a little local community group of people. I sat in the parks the last 2 days, and I have been just observing our youth anywhere from ages 8 up to age 17. And something touched me yesterday, and I heard a 14-year-old girl say to one of her friends, well, let me start it this way. Four young ladies are sitting together in the park. They're all sitting on these slides and the benches and everything because the park was pretty empty. No little kids swinging or anything. So I'm sitting on a bench now, and I'm fairly close to this group, and I'm hearing them talk amongst each other, and one of them was a little sad. She seemed to be like she just cried or something. And, you know, I was listening and wondering what was happening. So one of the girls turns to her and says, child, you need to leave that scrub alone because you are beautiful. And this 14-year-old girl turned and said to her friend, I'm not beautiful because people don't hurt beautiful things. Then she happened to turn around, and when she turned around, there was a bruise on the side of her jaw and on her arm. So I walked over, and I, you know, sat there, pretended to ask for the time, and then I got into asking them what makes, you know, you think that only beautiful things get saved. She says people and don't hit or hurt or throw away beautiful things. And this young lady, you know, by all intents and purposes, she was an absolutely beautiful young lady. All kids are beautiful to me. That's just beauty-wise. If you want to talk magazine, this girl could be it. And she sat there, and she spoke about how it used to be great when she was on the band or was in the music class or something, and talked about how when they started taking away the arts class, when they started taking away drama and dance, when they took away most of the sports teams in her school and everything, how things started to change. And now she was like a nobody now. At least, she said, when I didn't have friends or when I wasn't popular or when I wasn't able to socialize, I had the drama class and I had my music. So that made me come up with the angle on tonight's topic, where we're connecting the arts with self-esteem. So you guys know how this goes. I'm going to go in before my early show break. And when I get back, we're going to get into this topic because it's a very, very sensitive one. And it's really, really starting to get to the point where somebody at some point, we're really going to have to stop talking about it and start being about it. That is definitely the issue. Our young girls and at this age are talking like someone who's lived a very long life of abuse or hard marriages or something. These are young girls that barely their life is starting. And one's getting hit by a young boy she's with who is walking around apparently doing the opposite and believing that he's a Mac or he's a big guy by putting his hands and keeping his quote-unquote woman under control. This really, really, really has to stop. So I'm going to go out to all of you young ladies out there and young men out there who are feeling like you are less than the best because someone said so or someone hurt you or someone schemed on you or told you something and then turned around and was lying. Here's R. Kelly with The World's Greatest, because that's exactly what you are. I'll be back in 4.5 minutes, guys. Keep it tight.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. I am an eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle. I am a marching band, I am the people, oh, I am a helping hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the
ring
of life,
I will reign,
and the world will know it, I
I'm that little bit
of hope.
Yeah.
Be my helping
and just fall.
The world's waiting.
And it's so great.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. Sorry for the delay, folks. I want to repeat that message in that song. All of you out there, my young listeners that are listening out there, please walk with your head high. As hard as it is when people are constantly telling you differently, especially those people that are supposed to love you and protect you and tell you that you're great, especially that special person that's supposed to be your other half in life for you, for those of you that are a little bit older and can have that situation in life happen. When there is somebody in your life who is designated or is designed or supposed to be telling you how great you are and they fail you, you're left to your own devices in so many ways to try to survive through that. I know I've lived it. My young group that I spoke with for this last 2 days, those of you that are listening in, you know what I mean. I've given you some key details. Living with other people around you as a validation source becomes an empty life. When you start trying to expect people to approve of you, the way you look, approve of the way you act, the way that you walk, approve of the way your hair looks, approve of you as a good or bad person, it becomes a point in time where you're going to start living a life that it will never be satisfied because you can't please people. No amount of outside applause is going to help you if you're empty for yourself inside. Lesson that I'm learning as I stand in my 40s. So I'm not speaking from some old cliche saying that our ancestors have said. I'm speaking as a walking, talking, living, breathing individual who's still going through my own struggles, but I've seen what it's doing to our youth. To hear 14-year-old girls stay in a playground and start talking about how they lost their focus on something and turned to what was in their face. Now, I'm going to repeat this to those of you that are out there making these budget cuts decisions. These children turn to these early premature relationships that really they're not ready to handle or deal with or even comprehend at 14 and 13. Because you took away the things that distract them and kept their interest. You took away their violins. You took away their music. You took away their dance classes. You put a bunch of teachers out of jobs and put our economy back into another economic down pit. And meanwhile, when up there, while you're trying to save the rich and kick it to the poor, the whole thing is that our children now are coming into a deeper rut than they've ever been in. Never mind the fact that they've already lost their standard support structure that they once had because their parents are about the age that they are. Never mind that all of the government interference that has gotten into the way of the family raising and the structures that these parents have for their children have confused the hell out of these kids and make them believe now that they can do anything they want as adults. But at the same time, this same society is telling them that they're a kid, to be in a kid's place and you need to not do things or you can get in trouble. But guess what? You took away everything that was their outlet to make them feel like somebody, to make them focus on something, to make their learning abilities be enhanced. You took away the things that give them the right to learn how to be structured, how to be disciplined, how to be dedicated and committed, how to be a team player, and how to have, ready, wait for it, self-esteem. Think about when you were younger and you were in high school. There was some prestige to being a part of some club that was in a high school or in a junior high. There was the glee club, the arts club, the sports club, the basketball team, the cheerleaders, the dance department, the drama department. If we go back a little further from my era, I remember the movie Fame, where it was all about just that, the arts, School of Performing Arts. Because everybody's brain, even adults, need work, rest, and play. There's a reason why there's a three parts to a 24-hour period. It's supposed to be work, resting, and playing. Because at some point in time, you have to balance it out with a little fantasy and a little fun. You must. Otherwise, stress will overload you. You can't think straight. You're mad at the world. Somebody's going to blow you up or something to that effect. You need to have something where you could just relax and do something that has no rules. Mine is how to count to a beat, read some music, how to step to the tune or tempo of a musician's beat. Mine is how to say a cheer and stand in line and follow your team. But those rules go with the fun of the results of the project that you're doing in an arts program. These children, when they're not so smart or they're not the science whiz in their science classes, they feel like somebody when they have a paintbrush in their hand. And they're painting on paper, or they're drawing in their sketch pads, or they're writing in their books. I'm one. Creative writers can be creative, and they'll say it over and over and over again. They can take away pain that they went through by writing a character who went through it and solve it their way with a pen, with the mighty stroke of a pen. An artist can draw their fantasy being. They can make themselves princes or princesses with the stroke of a brush. A basketball player can dream of being like Michael Jordan one day because he's out there learning how to fly high and that's what he's going to focus on. Or she. Let me not limit basketball and sports to men. But you're taking these things away, thinking it's just about, oh, who needs art? It's not about the need for art. That's to save your pennies, government. It's about the fact that there's a much better, more structured society that came back from the yesteryear when there were rich arts and crafts and programs and after school groups and camps. There were way more structured individuals that emerged from that generation because we had all of that. We didn't have government telling our parents that they couldn't discipline us when we were out there doing something that would lead to exactly what today's society is. But now to find out, to hear from the horse's mouth, the children's mouth, that most of their relationships start so early because everything they once were distracted with in school, they don't have anymore. Just think about that. You wouldn't have 14-year-old mothers and fathers because half of them would be so interested in making sure they made their after-school dance class. They don't want to be late because they know there's a penalty. They don't want to be late because they don't want to miss being in the show. Somebody who can play an instrument wouldn't be thinking about stopping their practice to go and kiss some guy in behind the locker room or trying to be some gang girl or some gang member because they would feel a little good about themselves because they're doing something that not everybody can do and it takes a lot of work and I'm doing it. I got this far. I remember when I couldn't even blow a proper sounding note on my saxophone when I first got started. Now I can at least play chopsticks on the saxophone. You don't think school arts has anything to do with self-esteem? Think again. I have a caller on the line, which I would like to bring in on this discussion this evening. Please bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, caller. You're on the air. Okay, we are having just a little bit of a mic problem, so hang with me for a sec. Lord, tell me not, please. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm having just a little bit of a connection issue in the studio. We are going to take a little small break. If there's a little bit of silence, it's because of the connection issue. So just bear with us. We are still on the air, okay? Okay, while our techs are working on it, we're going to move right along to the next subject. And callers, please hang on. The connection affects your connectivity to the studio as well. Just hang on. They're working on it. They'll be right with it. It's been storms and stuff going back and forth here all day, so you guys will have to be a little patient with us, or I would appreciate that you're a little patient with us. I really, really do. Getting back to what we were discussing at this point, school arts do affect or are integrated, intertwined with the self-esteem of our children, okay? When that unpopular teen is not able to fit in with, let's say, the science lab people that can do a science lab in no time and sit through, they will be able to go to, say, the art class and draw by themselves and feel good about what they're writing there, create a comic book character that makes them feel stronger than what they are. As a matter of fact, I believe that that type of art is a lot more frugal and a lot more productive than the video electronic addictions that we have now. That is the situation. There's a whole lot more of productivity in the old arts, the school arts, than there is in what you can get out of being addicted to Candy Crush or a Facebook video game or a video game where you're just killing a bunch of zombies or you're going to war. Much, much, much better situation having children pick up a paintbrush, pick up a pencil, a sketching pencil, a sketch pad. Having children pick up a basketball. Having children pick up a basketball. Rather than them go out there and picking up a joystick and not seeing their friends for 3 hours that's sitting right in front of them because they are busy. They are busy trying to connect with the texting instead of with each other. So taking away school art definitely will give that child that does not fit in with the average or isn't popular, take away their rights to feel like something or to be somebody. So does school art programs affect self-esteem? I think it does. I can say it does without a doubt. I remember being in high school. I was never good enough to be on the cheerleaders. At least I didn't want to. I thought they were kind of trivial. So I didn't want to be a cheerleader. But I loved music. I loved the dance class. I loved the creative writing department. There was a prestige that went with being able to say that you're part of some club in your school. Maybe you couldn't be the cutest girl in the back or the most, you know, built boy in the class, but when you sat down with a paper and a pen in a writing class, you could be anybody you wanted to be. You can get back any teacher you wanted to do legally without getting in trouble. When you sat down with a paintbrush and an easel, you could paint a palace that you wish you could live in. To take that away from our children now with all the modern-day society obstructions and craziness that's going on right at this moment, you just took away one small option from back in the day that would save their butts being that most of the modern day households are single parents, single moms in particular, young single mothers, young single parents who are closer to their children's age, than they are to being their parent. Most of them are spending most of their time trying to go in and shop with their young daughters to pick up these horrible fashions that are way too old for them and too revealing for them, thinking that that's the way to connect with their children. So what they are saying is, you're 15, and yes, you need to go out and show cleavage because that's the way things are today, and I think it's cute on you because I don't want you to think I'm the bad guy. And Lord knows if you, these days, if you sit there and if you are sitting there and trying to discipline your child, now you have that, they have the opportunity of calling the cops on you. So what do we do? The school arts was probably the last of the good old days to save the society nowadays. And as much as all these bigwigs up in the political office are making the decisions around the bench, around the table, they're making these decisions for money and penny purposes, and they're forgetting that while you're pinching pennies, you're also pinching and diminishing the quality of life and the choices and options that our youth have. So I believe that we have got our connectivity issues. I believe so. So I'm going to call in our caller right now. Okay, and thank you all that are still with me for hanging out. Okay, one sec. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, hey, hello to you. It's Lady Diamond. How are you?
Hi there, my dear. Now my mic is acting up. Jesus, Lord. All right. Can you hear me, honey?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Are we clear? No echoes? No breaking up? We all right?
No, just a second ago you were echoing, but now you're perfectly fine.
Yeah, that was because they were doing something. Oh, you know, studio stuff, people. All I do is host. That's it. Okay. Thank you all very much for hanging out. Elaine, we are 11,107 listeners.
Awesome.
So I want to thank everybody. We're getting a lot more live listeners, a lot more teens. Now, yesterday, as you went to research one half of stuff, I was researching with some youth. Today's topic, as we discussed earlier, was going to be about how school arts affects the lack of school arts, the loss of them, affect our children's self-esteem, how they directly intertwine with each other. Now, one of the things that I got from my face-to-face survey yesterday made me cry. It made me cry. 14-year-old girls, there were four of them, sitting in a park. You know, I got the grace of my kid's grandmother taking them for the day to go enjoy the parade and gave me a break. So I took that time to walk out and go see what I could get from the neighborhood, you know, what politics I could come up with to talk about. And I wind up sitting in the park and seeing four girls sitting on the baby swings or the baby slides, you know, the top of the monkey bars and everything. And one of the girls looked really sad. And, you know, I was like, I hate to see children, even young girls, you know, young boys, looking so troubled. So one of the things that happened was I listened, and one of the girls was like, girl, you need to stop crying, you know, and stop worrying about it because that scrub is nobody. You're beautiful. And this girl gave her friend such a painful look, like, I can't believe you just said that, and told her friend, I am not beautiful, because people don't hurt or scheme or leave beautiful things.
That sounds interesting.
And I mean, for a split second, I thought of me and how I felt all those years. And I'm saying to myself, I grew up with abuse, and I was in abusive relationships as a grown woman with children. It started out young. I mean, grown woman, meaning I was a mom. I was 19. You know, there's no way in hell that some 14-year-old girl whose life just got started should be saying the same thing I've said as a grown woman. who's been abused and had that horrible bad side of an adult life happen. There's no way. So I walked over and I started chatting with these girls for a little bit, and I said, sweetheart, what's that bruise on the side of your face? And, you know, you all right? Everything okay? So I saw the look in her face where the first instinct was going to be to deny that it was somebody who hit her. So I didn't press, but I knew. And I said, let me tell you something. I just overheard what you said. How old are you? She said 14. I think, forget it. So I said to her, I said, sweetheart, let me tell you something. First of all, you're way too young for you to be having such a heavy load of burden on you, and I don't blame her at all. I blame the society. But I said to her, you are beautiful because God made you beautiful. And if the person in your life who says love to you, anyone who says that they love you, anyone who quotes the scriptures from the Lord and speaks love at the same time, that hurts you and makes you feel that to be in love with them or to have their love means you have to alter yourself, to degrade yourself, change yourself, or be something other than yourself. It's not God and it's not truth. So I asked them, well, I was like, you know, I got into a little, like, you know, straight talk, and I'm like, well, what the hell possessed you girls to think that you should have boyfriends at 14 anyway? Yeah. And so this same girl, listeners, bear with me, because this one was a little sensitive, and it actually touched me a little more personally than I wanted it to, not because of anything other than I can't stand to see any small child or young girl or boy talk this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I told this child, what on earth possessed you girls to think that you need or should have boyfriends so, you know, early or so quickly out the womb at 14. So she goes, well, what else is left? She goes, you know that I used to be just a straight A student. I didn't have boys on my mind. I didn't have anything. And I said, well, what did you do? I used to be in the dance department in my school, and then I started to play. I used to play some piano. So I said to her, well, what happened? She goes, they don't have nothing. This is exactly how she said it. They ain't got none of those things in there anymore. They cut this budget, they cut that, so what's left? We don't have any after-school programs to go to. We don't have any churches. Churches don't have youth programs anymore. All that's left is boyfriends and girlfriends. I'm not pausing, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm lost for words. Not because I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm pausing because that's something that anybody listening needs to listen to. Needs to hear really, 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 really hard. These girls are 14 years old. 14. And the boy that put the bruise on that 14-year-old girl's face is 14 and a half. And all you big budget cutters up there in the big Royal Oak room that you're doing these things, you are killing our children, unless that's your intention. So I'm going to ask you, Elaine, do you feel that the school art programs directly affect, enhance, or without them, take away a child's self-esteem level?
Well, myself, throughout my school, throughout the years I've been in school, yes, the arts program has been a huge thing when I was in school, especially from when I first started. I went to PS 42 in Lower Manhattan. Back then it was called PS 42. Now it's like three other schools in one, right? And they started an after-school program, and it was a performing arts program. This performing arts program, we did instruments. I mean, we did, like, trumpets. We learned how to play clarinet. We learned how to play different musical instruments, especially the piano. We even had our own Latin band back then. And I mean, Latin band, we sang a lot of Spanish music. And it was a mixed amount of kids, and we all just got in this, and we just sang. Not only was it only for the music, we also did art, drama. We did a whole bunch of things that we collaborated, and we put it all together, and it was a huge production. And it was about saving the world, you know, and things like that. Okay. Yeah, it brings up the self-esteem of a child. It does, because it gets them busy, and so, oh, wait, I'm actually committing myself into something that I'm making a difference in life, you know. Now, you don't hear things like that anymore. I did an after school program. It was from my old elementary school after school program. Well, with junior high school, it was the same thing. We had basketball program. We had cheerleading program. We had different fundamental programs out there that kept teenagers busy up to the way to graduate junior high school and go into high school. Get through high school. High school didn't have as much. The biggest things we had was basketball, football, cheerleading, track, and other things. And that is something that will keep everybody busy. That should feel that they're making a difference out there. Running the track is a huge difference. They're keeping themselves in shape and everything. Drawing and, putting just a ball plate into a live statue is a huge thing because it makes the teenager and the child feel that they have, are actually pushing forward into something great, into something that will push them better into the future. It builds the creative mind and everything. So right now, since there's not much that we have, we don't have no after-school programs. We don't have no performing arts programs. You don't see it anymore. You really don't. And you wonder, do these kids know how to play the clarinet? Katie, I don't know if you remember, but in my school, they gave us like this flute. They gave the whole class a flute. And they only taught you how to do one song in that flute. And I can't even call it a flute. It's like, it looked like a clarinet. It's like a plastic thing. It blew into it, and that was it. And that was like the start of it. Now you don't even see that anymore. So, I feel that since they're taking away a lot of the programs, and those fat kids up there that has those fat pockets, they're asking us for more money, and that's being put into our children's, lifestyle, especially in the school programs, and, music, art, and performing arts, drama, you have to go to a specialized school just for that. And it shouldn't be like that, and it should not be like that at all. Why should I go to a performing arts school if I'm interested in something else? And they don't bring that in. Why if I go to a regular high school and, I want to do all of that? They don't give that much. They don't give that anymore. So, it brings down the self-esteem of a child. They have nothing else to do. And I can't say, churches, because I don't know any churches around that they can give. Because I know my church, we give. And that's if the teenager's not looking or they don't want to look. So I can't even blame that on the churches as well. I can't. Because there was something there for the child. They just refuse to look, or they just don't want to look, or they're too scared. And that's the problem. They're probably too scared to go into it. So I believe more in the school system, more in the school system, because they should have something for these teenagers and for these children to keep themselves busy from violence, from drugs, from gangs, and from just getting in trouble, especially sexual activities, getting pregnant, and all that. They should just find a way to keep these kids mentally busy so they can actually grow into something that is better. And like you said, blowing our children's self-esteem down is really blowing them down. They're not competitive as before. They don't know much about the art, and they go to a specialized school. So, yes, it is bringing down our children's self-esteem a lot.
Thank you for that. I will say, I remember I was 15. I was always, I guess you call me an odd kid out or whatever it was. I wasn't interested in running clubs. I wasn't interested in chasing the quarterbacks. I used to sit in the corner and write. Now, teens, you listening to me? This is not me putting myself in any other category other than an example that I'm about to tell you. A little bit of a experience. And we did have a lot of programs in our day. We sure did. However, a lot of them were programs that you pay for. Even the smallest fee for my family was too much. My mom was single mother. $5 could have fed us some way because things were cheaper for us back then. So $5 back then went a long way. So to be able to spend $5 on one of seven children wasn't an option that we could afford. So we didn't really have a lot of free after-school programs, and then again, there were. But usually the free programs were for kids that were struggling in school. And since that wasn't my case, I had to sort of, fend for myself, in a sense, in figuring out how to make myself feel challenged or feel whatever. But there was always something in me from a very young age, I guess, where I felt I was grown, to a point where other girls my age that I saw getting in trouble because they would run to the corners and hang on the corners and be in mobs or whatever, I always was either writing or dancing, creating, choreographing. And one day,
just playing around, one of my neighbors who lived upstairs in the house upstairs in my house, she came down to visit and she saw what I was doing and she goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I choreograph, I do talent shows and stuff like that. Wherever I can, I love to dance. That was my escape from my world back then. If it wasn't that, it was writing, poetry, scripts, music, whatever it was, I was writing. So what happened was one particular day, my friend was like, oh, you know what? That looks fun. Teach it to me. And it started from there. So what started happening was a lot of these moms, a lot of the mothers in my neighborhood, pretty much we all, back in the day, we had the you know, use your imagination to make up games type thing. I think Deacon Zeddy Williams, whenever he's on, he talks about how they used to build go-karts and things to that effect. My ex-husband is Jamaican. He used to talk about the same thing. So we all had our minds as our playground. And our curfew was when the streetlights came on. You had to be off the streets before the streetlights came on. So we had all of that time, of course, after doing our chores, to just go out there and be. And so a lot of the times, though, certain families had the type of children that they were either hyperactive and really didn't know how to stop and, you know, use their own devices. So I was always for the underdog. So I would bring the people in, and that started it. I started having the entire group of kids on the block want to see what we were doing. We were practicing the front and everything, and then we started to create community talent shows. And so I started to get to the point where I told them, if your mom says that you didn't do your chores, you can't be in rehearsal. If your mom says you're grounded, you're out. And if you happen to miss the steps, you can't perform. So it started to keep these kids together, my peers. It started to keep them pay attention to their mom, paying attention to their schoolwork, paying attention to doing everything their mom said and not being disrespectful, because the rule was home first. So that started to be something that the parents started to look to me to, and it became a thing that everybody wanted to see. So we started to actually have talent shows, local talent shows. We paid, we had fundraisers, we had everything. And that became something that I did. And then as I got older, I started to teach Christian dance groups in my church and started keeping the church kids there too as well. And it started to become something that people wanted to see. So I'm telling this to you teens that are listening, because as much as there aren't any options out there to you, there's nothing stopping you from making options for you. I see a lot of you girls sitting out there in groups, and all of you are choreographed enough to wear the same outfits, to meet and be organized, to meet at the mall. I see all of you out there that are thinking the same and thinking in sync, to go out there and do things you shouldn't be doing. Why not take all those dances that you're doing, trying to get the little boys to watch you, and back at you with the boys, and make that something that you go out there and make a productive community activity? Because then maybe you can make your own art, and maybe somebody who happens to like what they see will even ask you who you are and want to fund you.
That's right. That's right. Actually, for the carnival, we what was it? We asked a young lady that she's in one of the youth groups at the church if she could put together, you know, a dance thing, you know, as a church dance thing. And she would invite anybody into this skit just to bring more kids in so they could see that it's not only, you know, that we are alive, that we are here to join and see that we could help out. So, I mean, she's starting her dance group and could be performing at the carnival. But, you know, I'm pretty excited to see. I mean, she's a young lady. She's a good choreographer. I mean, you know what? Bring all the kids in. If they're not even part of the church, bring them in so we could see them. So they could be seen and say, oh, wait a minute. We could do a lot more than just hang out on the streets and look the other way and just get in trouble. No, we can actually get in church and actually get involved in something that will make us better.
All right. Lady Diamond, there's only one thing I need from you. A few minutes ago, you sounded a little muffled, so if you're a little too close to your phone, just lean it back a little bit, okay? Because you have a lot of great things to say, and I want to hear it clearly. I want to say this to the teens that are out there. One of the things I used to do with my youth group is whenever they wanted to fight each other, I told them to put it into the dance floor. okay? Mm-hmm. I used to make them, if we were writing that day, I told them whatever's making you angry or sad or depressed or happy, put it into your craft. Put it into the dance floor and let me see the steps. I want to see the passion in the steps because that is where the arts come from what's inside a person. That's why very few people can be something that they're not. A choreographer can't always necessarily be a dancer. He has the vision in his head as to what the steps should be. But he or she is not able to actually have the ability to go out there and put it to dance. There's a lot of people that can write great love songs but can't sing worth a lick. But you know what? That means that their craft goes with the craft of the person that brings it out, and all of you are a team. That's where it lies. And that is what the art does for children. Okay?
Right.
There's some background noise coming in from over there, so I need to find out what that is. We have children nowadays that are so caught up in image and not fitting into what society says is the perfect image. You're not thick enough. You're not slim enough. Your lips are too thin. Your lips are too fat. Your nose is too big. Your eyes are too small. You have a unibrow. Your hair's too short and too nappy. Your hair's too long and too fine. All of these things is what our children are living and breathing by nowadays. And if they act out their frustrations based on not being able to fit in to one of these categories, what happens is that now they're going to become angry children. Now they're going to act out on the ones that they think do fit the bill, that think they're better than they are. And there goes the resentment that's going to cause a fight. Teens, are you listening? And that will cause something else. And half of the children will start becoming problematic at home. And then the parents will react. And then we have the government interference. And then there's the police interference. Then there's the racial stereotyping. There's the profile stereotyping. There's the assumptions about what people are expecting when they come up and hear about a child that just had a fight with three people. Nobody gives a damn about getting to the bottom of the problem anymore. And you know what? The fact that they are the problem, that taking away a very constructive forum for a child to take out whatever that ails them in their growing pain stage, whatever it is that made them feel like they were somebody somewhere because they didn't fit in with the popular girls or the popular dudes or the jocks from the sports team. In class, they can't understand math. That was me. I couldn't understand math. Just that God gave me the inner strength enough to say, I really don't care what you think of me at that time. The whole thing is, then they get into these people that come into their lives, sweet-talking the void. Sweet-talking their way into the void that's been taken away from what society told them they don't fit up to be, from what the school arts once had for them that's now been taken away, from all this horrible testing score that they have to meet up to, and Lord knows if they're not good in math, they're going to fail their math regents. All of these things. But they had one place they could go, either the football field or the dance department or the drama or the arts class. Now you got more of an unemployment issue because half of those arts teachers, if not all of them, are out of a job. So there goes a double problem. Now you got angry grown-ups that can't take the fact that they know they're good at what they do. They had fun teaching when they did, and now they don't have a job because somebody up in Big World Land wanted to decide for the entire country. Because big people think big. They don't think about the little people. But they make big cuts that affect the little people, and these little people have big problems. Now what? It's a vicious circle. And the only people to stop it is the little people themselves. You know why? Because we're the ones that are affected by it. Whenever I go down to a school and I start asking how the school is, I don't ask the principal. The principal is the leader. The principal wants to take credit for all that's good about what's on paper. A teacher knows that child intimately. A teacher knows the students intimately. They're in that classroom 8 hours a day with your child. The principal just gets the troubled reports or the reward reports. They'll peek their head in whenever there's a big wig coming to visit to make sure that all the teachers are doing their job and doing their checklist. But that teacher knows your child, so I will ask that teacher how the school is. It's the same with these big politicians. Those politicians are voting based on what affects them. What they looked at in a little anonymous survey that said, oh, well, pretty much this looks like something that'll be a good pitch for campaigning. And I think Deacon Williams so said once before that even where he's at, you don't see these politicians until it's voting time. Then all of a sudden, everybody wants to know who you are personally, even knock on your door and give you a personal face-to-face handshake. Okay? A personal face-to-face handshake. All right, I have a caller coming in. Let me bring them in. Give me a sec. Welcome, caller. You're on the air. Hello?
Welcome, welcome.
Oh, hi. Hello, how are you? Who's this?
This is LV.
Hey, LV, how are you?
I'm fabulous, fabulous.
All right, well, you've been listening in. You got anything to say?
Well, I can say a lot, but, you know, what I'll zone in on is something you said about the kids not, you know, having too much identity. Not too much in your words of what you said verbatim, but, you know, I will elaborate on it and say that, you know, the problem really starts at home. You know, people always forget that, you know, it starts at home before it starts anywhere else, you know.
Indeed.
These days, you know, our children are influenced not by each other, but by what they see on TV. So they develop these categories and statistics from TV. You know, if you're not looking like Nicki Minaj, you're not in. You know, if you're not twerking like Miley Cyrus, you're not in. You know, if so. You know, so it becomes, you know, this TV reality show in real life when the kids go to school. So it's like, oh, you're not in my crowd because you don't fit in the Nicki Minaj crowd. We are Barbs. You're not a Barb. Oh, you don't fit in our crowd over here because you don't do X, Y, and Z. So then that's when the bullying comes into play. This is when the insecurity comes into play. And this is where, you know, the singling out and, you know, everyone being put into their own different categories. So then you got the home situation where it wasn't being taken care of at home. So now when the child comes home, we don't know that child's situation at the house. You know, I've seen situations where the child is fit, you know, and fit in a way, because I'm talking about a child, so I'm going to say fit instead of saying what you know, the child's shape size is like. So this is a fit child, and the parent is saying, oh, you're fat. You need to look like so-and-so from the church. Why can't you look like so-and-so from the church? Oh, I'm so disgraced with you. You know, if a child hears that for a long period of time, you know, it breaks down, you know, whatever stronghold she built up at school. She get it from school, she get it from home, she get it from her friends. So it's like, you know, what else is there for her to do? And it's, you know, not just females, it's males too.
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was coughing, sorry. Go ahead.
But, you know, that's really where it boils down to, you know. I think a lot of the parenting is different from when, you know, you were young and I were young. And, you know, the chain somewhere has been broken because of the time difference of children. You have children having children. So a child cannot teach another child how to be a child if, or better yet, be a grown up if she's still a child. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, there's a process that has to take, and it's a process that's being eliminated. So because of that, we have this outraged generation that is just like totally on Rampage right now and don't care, don't have any substance in how they move, you know, what they do. You know, nobody really wants to go to school, and if they go to school, it's to do things outside of learning. You know, how many years do I have to hear a child say they don't like math? Why don't you like math? School is a lot different from when I went to school. When I went to school, you really had to grind per se to even get certain privileges, as I heard you say, as far as with, you know, after schooling and stuff like that, whatever. You know, I never had that privilege because, you know, I was always above my class. But, you know, I did go into a night school one time, you know, to excel myself a little bit higher. And it's the stuff I've seen, even when I was in college, you know, people are, you know, are like, well, you know, math, you know. I'm like, how old are you? You know, like, oh, I'm 18. And I'm like, dude, like, really? You know what I'm saying? Like, school is a lot easier for y'all from when it was when I was in school. Y'all got college prep classes, and y'all get credits to go into college in high school. We didn't have that.
We sure did.
You know what I'm saying? We had to earn everything we had to do to even get looked at by a college when we put our papers in and our applications in for the college. Now it's, oh, I can go to any college I decide I want to go to because I already have credit to go to a college. So even if a big college don't accept me, hey, I can go into college anyway. So,
indeed.
So I'm still trying to understand, you know, the generation and how they're getting lost when everything is being handed to them. So then people want to see why they are deciding to eliminate a lot of these schools, break down a lot of these schools. You know, I went to a school in Brooklyn, Boys and Girls, where, you know, Mr. Mickens was the toughest principal that I know, period. They talked about him on the news and everything, you know, but he had that school in check. Now that he's gone and he's not alive and, you know, and they have this new principal, Mr. Powell, and they're talking about closing the school because the school is not pulling its numbers.
Right. Now, I do want to interject on two things that you said. One was your just made comment about the schools. Let me go back a little bit. When you said that it starts at home and that you're right, a lot of these nowadays children, they have everything done for them, indeed. The deal is, though, the removal of the arts programs in the schools. That is the situation, because arts, in, especially when I was growing up, okay, there were a lot more people, you know, that welfare was not. A lot of times you hear a lot of people talking about getting there because they're thinking more of as our deacon, our regular deacon guest, he likes to see the microwave life. And a lot of nowadays you hear that and the humiliation that goes along with getting government aid just to qualify for the peanuts that they give you is crazy. But there are people that have to go that route. And then there are people that could do better and don't. But the arts, the school arts, is when they were in place, when they were rich and plenty, okay, when they were plentiful, you can go out there and you can sign up for this and you can qualify for that in your schools, all right? Whether you were unpopular, whether you had a bad life at home, arts was a form of constructive expression. Arts gave a lot of the most unpopular kids a place to go, whether it was to escape or whether it was to feel like somebody, or whether it was to find out that they actually had a talent. And nowadays, you got politicians sitting up there taking this away whenever they decide that the economy is in a crunch. They're saving more yacht programs, more, you know, don't tax the rich programs, things to that effect, while the youth is going to hell in a handbasket. And well, the thing that I mentioned earlier is, yeah, for those that have it and don't take it by will, that's not it. But when I'm hearing 14-year-old girls telling me that they're involved in relationships at 14, now you think back, LV, you're around me in age, okay? At least you're from that last big mama generation, I like to call it. Okay, you think real hard about you even daring to look at a boy or look at a girl at 14 and what your parents and people around you would do.
Now, when I'm hearing children, as I said, I walked the neighborhood and I got involved with certain people around my area, and I'm hearing that they probably wouldn't have even thought of a boyfriend or a girlfriend if they had the music class they used to go to, if they could go to the dance department. And Lord knows they're not allowing any more entrepreneurships to happen. You really got to struggle and grind and scrape your knuckles to even find a program that you could work hard to qualify for. So that all of these things are being snipped away, slowly edged off, sort of whatever. And for those kids that do have an outlet in these programs, for those children that did learn better, listen, math was a struggle for me. And I did come from that era where you had tough principals and tough teachers, and you didn't have things like, you know, mathway.com and things to that effect. I didn't have that. So you either got a big fat red mark or you got a check. And I remember getting a C at the time, or getting a 70 was like an A for me in math. Not that I can't do basic math. I'm very good at doing things in my head. But when it came down to algebraic expressions and linears and all this stuff, you could forget it. I used to tell the teacher, I'm not trying to build a rocket ship when I grow up. I just need to know how to count my money. So, you know, things to that effect. And I've tried to figure out, why do I need to know what, you know, the X angle minus the Y angle plus B, C equals what? I never understood that. How would I apply that to daily life if I wasn't going to work for NASA? But in the same token, it was a requirement. And you know why a lot of kids hate math? Because the teachers don't teach it well. I had one teacher in college, that actually made me like math. And one teacher. Why? Because she understood I learned a certain way. And that's the way she explained the lesson to me. Teachers are supposed to know the bad glitches, the gaps, the way kids learn, the differences in the way kids learn. They're not doing that anymore. They're being told not to.
Well, it's not that.
I don't mean
to interject, but it's not. I'm gonna touch on a few things because I'm listening to you, and I want to touch on a few things. It's not because the teachers are being told not to. You know, I have a degree in marketing, and in marketing we are, you know, marketing is the center of the world. Say it like that. So in marketing, we learn what everybody's job trait is and then some. So if you're a doctor, I know the core parts of your job because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to learn that. It's called a swallowing attitude. You know, so when you're a teacher and you go to school all these years and whatever the case is, and you don't know the different types of learning, the visual learning, the all hands learning, you know, and so forth, you know, it's hard for you to spot it when you are in front of it, you know. So I don't think they're being told not to. I just think they really don't know. So it's hard to, you know, and that's why you have kids with teachers that don't get along, because, and I was one of those. I'm talking from experience. You know, none of my teachers understood me. None of my teachers understood me. You know, I'm multi-talented, always been multi-talented since birth. I play the piano. I started playing the wind organ when I was young. I draw. I'm a chameleon at skill. At like, that's just what I do. But the point is, a lot of children are not like that. When I was in college, I bought books and didn't even use them. So, you know, it took me a long time to realize I'm spending all this money on books and I don't even use them. So, you know, it sometimes you have to catch yourself in what you're doing. Now, as far as you was talking about the 14-year-old and, you know, school programs, I'll say this, you know, it's a half-and-half situation. You know, the reason that you have 14-year-olds and relationships is because their parents, once again, are young and trying to be in relationships. You have parents and kids competing with each other. So if I'm young and you're young and I'm trying to deal with somebody who's only a couple of years older than you, listen, I don't want you in my house. You don't come in the house until a certain time. So what does that town have to do in the hours that they're roaming the streets? Okay, there's your answer. They find somebody to get connected with. Maybe it's another girl who introduces them to another guy. You know, the new thing now is, you know, everybody is, you know, doing same-sex relationships. And you have a lot of young people doing that wave right now. So, and it's not even because they are of that culture, I would say it that way, but it's because they want to fit in. They don't have nowhere to fit in. Oh, so all y'all girls can hang with each other and do this, this, and that? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm that too. Same thing with the guys, you know? And then you can only do that so long until you fit in and then want to be like it. So it's like, you know, okay, all your friends smoke weed, but you don't, but you want to chill with them because they smoke weed. And then, you know, one day he's like, yo, son, you know, yo, dude, like, you want to take a pool? Like, hey, guess what? Now you're a weed smoker too. So, you know, that's how that system is broken down. So because of that cycle you have right there, and because the government watches all of that, hey, they don't need programs. What they need programs for? Nobody's playing music. Everybody wants to be a rapper. The most insulting commercial to me right now on TV, is this Kmart commercial, Laneway Kmart commercial with the urban kids rapping on it. Why couldn't the kids be of a different culture? Why does it have to be urban kids rapping on it? You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
This is how they see us. Oh, they don't want to be basketball players no more. They don't want to be doctors. They want to be rappers. They want to be Nicki Minaj's. They want to be who's a male that's retarded right now. They want to be Trinidad James or whoever. You know. So I really every time I see the commercial, I get upset because it's like, well, you know, why are we broadcast like that?
Indeed, I would say that to you. But I will say one other thing. It's not always the parents, and I did serve as an SLT and a PTA mom for 4 years, and I saw the changes in the system and how it is coming from the higher-ups. But I will say this. Not every kid that's out there that's doing the things they do is because they come from a broken home, or not every kid is doing it because there are no arts in the school. But what I'm saying to you, and you have come, you've been one of those children that the arts benefited from, because just as you mentioned, all of the multi-talents that you have, and me knowing you, you're creative, you've got goals, you've got ambitions, and you know what? There are a lot of children, ambition can't be taught. Especially, like you said, if they're in a situation at home where it's all about making the bacon and however it is that it needs to be done, even if it means cutting family time, then so be it. Listen, as a single mom, there are plenty of times that I have gotten to the point where I had to check my workload because I'm so set on trying to make a better life for them down the road that I'm forgetting at times that there's life here now. Plenty of times, because as a single mom, you've got to take it all single parent. Single parent, let me rephrase that. A single parent, you've got to do 100% job with sometimes 25% of the tools. But getting back to the 14-year-olds that have relationships, oh, yeah, under no circumstances am I disagreeing with the fact that some of them are just fast kids and that there are reasons behind it. But some of them, it has no reason. It's just what they see out there, and that's the way they feel they'll fit in. But back in the days when they were plentiful arts available in the schools, there was a sort of a prestige with people that had something to say they belonged to. And for those people that weren't about what it looked like, it actually meant something to them. A lot of times, those very kids that came from those broken homes were using that art class, that music class, that basketball game to get away from it and to remind themselves that there's a better world out there from what they're going home to. That was their distraction. So whether or not these modern-day microwave children, looking at, like you said, that insulting Kmart commercial, and I'm with you on that one,
I was even more offended about two Christmases ago when one of the hottest things that this marketing companies were trying to push for Christmas was T-Pain's stupid auto-tuner. Meanwhile, our generation had to really hit the grind and really know how to sing in order for us to even be seen or considered by a record producer. So, yeah, it's marketing people think about marketing. Companies think about making money. And if they have to look stupid with the culture that they laugh at when they go home to their yachts and their BMWs and their keys to their mansions, then so what does it matter? They're getting paid. But taking arts out of the school where it gives children an option, because I've seen plenty of children that became a part of an arts program after being a rebel for so long. I've seen that happen. I've seen them walk around trying to make a name for themselves by being the biggest mouth to the authorities that there was, cursing out the principal, cursing out the teacher, being the class clown for whatever their pain was. But you know what? When eventually it all started to sizzle down because people wasn't finding them funny anymore, people weren't appreciating being, you know, accused of being guilty by association, eventually those art programs started looking like a great alternative. And then they wind up actually connecting and having something real about it. So, yes, by all means, we know this, that nowadays society is one confused glump of crap. But at the same token, why take away the options? And one thing I do beg to differ with you is that those programs that have managed to survive now are pretty packed. There are a lot of kids out there trying to grab a seat as quickly as possible and stay there, because there's rules there that they would rather respect more so than respecting their own parents' rules. They might even go home and respect the house rules because it will affect their program rules. But not only that, music taught people, especially that were bad in math, how to count. Those people who learn like me, I need to apply anything that's taught to me in class to something I do every day. I'm in computers class, so she's C-sharp programming class. And when he spoke about a specific thing, I said, whoa, hold it, wait, back it up. Now listen, let me be realistic here. I'm a 40-year-old woman in a class with fresh out of high school 20-somethings. So bear with me, I'm old, and I'm going to ask you to tell me like I'm a 2-year-old. Okay, you're saying that this particular thing is classes and objects. So classes, and now I have to apply it to something I'm familiar with. I'm a mom, so I cook, I clean, I know kids, I know movies, I know Barney, I know things to that effect. So let me kind of pick one of those little things and apply it to this. So I said, if I was wanting to make a lasagna dinner, and I've got all the ingredients except for the pasta itself, and I have to go to the supermarket, I said, in the supermarket, they have a whole bunch of aisles with numbers over these signs that tells you what you can find in this aisle. I said, so, if I go to the supermarket, and I'm looking for lasagna noodles, and I go and I see this big old sign that says aisle 15, in this aisle, I will find pasta sauces, pasta, rice, beans, et cetera, et cetera. But then when I go in the aisle, that's where I'll find macaroni, spaghetti, lasagna, et cetera. Is that what this relates to? My teacher looked at me and said, Katie, that is excellent, exactly what it means, and guess what? I'm using that for the next person who has a hard time learning as well. So that's a teacher that is in his job about trying to get his children to succeed, his students to succeed. And I have seen and heard with my own eyes that they do tell these teachers, you don't have time to sit with that one student who needs an extra 15 minutes to answer the same question that the rest of the class seem to have grasped. And couple that with the fact that nowadays the very schools that are closing down are doing so because the teachers are tired, the violence is big, because there's nothing for these kids to do with their displaced anger. There's no place for them to respect in order to stay in proper behavior. There's no consequences anymore. Children can't even be disciplined by their parents without being afraid that the government is going to come and arrest them. The arts was something that kids managed to be able to go in there and express themselves, something that they can do whether they're angry, whether they're happy, sad, whether they're pissed off, whatever it is. So whether or not it's as big as it used to be, it shouldn't be taken away. And I think that doing that has caused a big problem. These girls that I spoke to were pretty much saying, one girl sitting with a bruise on her chin and on her arm from a 14-year-old boyfriend who don't know what's going on in her house. But she did express that she had a history of playing piano for some time and being in a dance class. So when those got taken away and home wasn't so great and her friends were doing other things that one at one point she wasn't interested in doing or thought was too much, she no longer had the dance class or the piano class to go and distract herself from anymore. Not to mention, art promotes teamwork, art promotes discipline, commitment. You have to know how to do what you're doing when you go to a basketball team or a football team. You have to be a team member and an individual, and you've got to know how to blur the lines between both at one point. You've got to know how to come to practice or sit down on the bench. In music, you have to know how to count and read your notes, and you have to know that if you sound off and the rest of the band sounds good, you got to figure out where the problem is. That's not something that they're doing. They have a curriculum now. They say, this is what you need to know for the test. This is what you need to know for the test. You aren't going to get promoted if you don't pass the test. You got to know the test. And only New York City is the only people in the world that promotes children solely on test scores that they take once a year, forgetting the fact that these kids worked hard all year and got 80s and 90s and hundreds on their yearly work. All that goes out the window if the region scores or the annual ELA scores tell them that they failed because they froze that day. And once again, even in a situation like that, having something that they did in an arts program was a way for them to release even that frustration. That's my point for this evening. Now, Lady Diamond, you've been pretty quiet, and I'm sorry, so can you please chime in and say what you feel about the situation and what you've heard?
Well, you know how I feel about it. I mean, I feel that we just have to find a way to bring it all back. I mean, it's going to be hard. I know it's costly. But still, we just have to find a way to bring these kids back. Or these kids are smart. The kids today, I mean, they're as smart as we are, you know. And they should be able to pull something together and say, okay, we don't have that school program. Let's do this. Let's put this together and see how long it goes. And like you said, we have a lot of artistic kids out there. They're not putting it into use right now, you know. And, yes, the test scores, yes, that's like the biggest thing right now. They talk about the finals, the ELA, the SATs, no PSATs anymore. But, you know, all those exams, the last exam of the year, yeah, that's a huge thing. Why not open up a testing group right there? For those exams, you know, why not do certain things to make these teenagers, these kids, grow into, okay, now I know what's going to be an exam. Let's get going. Now I understand what's going on in this exam. And what you said, me myself, I hated math. I was never a good person in math, never. You know, but then I realized that I have a certain way of learning something that is completely different from everybody else.
I'm losing you a little bit, sweetheart. I'm sorry to interject. I need you to move the phone away a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, you were saying? Much better.
Yeah, sorry. No, like you and I mean, I've gone through the same thing that I had, like a certain learning problem that the teacher teaches it in one way. I don't know how he does it. He could write on the board as many times as he can, but if he doesn't physically show me how it's done, I will not understand what he means, what he's trying to show me. Same thing with a person who could be right in front of him, but the person doesn't actually speak about it, nobody understands what this teacher is telling him. You know, I mean, everybody has different learning ways. We have either seeing, touching, or even hearing it, and that's how different ways how we could learn. And that's how our kids are today, just like us. We have like three different learning habits. And not all these teachers focus on these learning habits much. Even if they were taught that way in college, they still don't know how to hit those 3 points of our learning ways, you know. They just think, okay, these kids are going to see it, they're going to hear it, but that's it. We also have to show them visually, and, you know, they have to touch as well to see, okay, this is what my instructor means by this. kids today, like I said, going back into the after school programs, going back into, you know, what is needed out there, what we don't have anymore, these kids are smart enough to actually build something. I think kids should take cameras and start taking pictures of everything and start putting a calligraphy together. You know what I mean? These kids are smart enough to do something. They could do something to actually say, okay, I don't have this program here. Maybe I could build something. Like what you did, kid. You choreographed, you did dancing, you pull kids in. These kids could do the same thing. What is it they cannot, you know, they cannot even push forward for that moment to say, okay, I'm a choreographer, let me show my talent. You know, I cannot dance, I cannot sing, I can help someone who can sing and dance as well. And maybe I could charge if I'm that great in it, you know? There's different ways, and these kids are not even pushing for that point. And they just, I hate to say they're lazy. I really hate to say they are lazy. They know they have the talent, they know they have it, they just don't want to, or they just don't know how to push forward for it. And if they do know how to push forward for it, they think they could have pushed them down and it hurt just to try. These kids are smart enough to grow that. And once the city sees, oh, man, these kids are going out into this, they're doing their own thing, and they're showing, okay, I know how to play the trumpet, I'm going to teach these kids how to play the trumpet, too. They're going to grow off of that, too. You know, and these kids got to figure something out.
Indeed. Let me ask you something, Elaine. You're a softball coach, okay, which is an art program that would have been in the community or in the schools. So tell me, among your children, do you see better conflict resolution, you know, for your team members? Do you see them applying what they learn in the softball environment out in the world? Do you see them having better, like I said, conflict resolution, problem solving, or at least approaches to the problems that, say, a kid, as we spoke about in the park earlier, you know, wouldn't have? Do you see that? Do you see them listening more, or even if they're angry, they come down a little more and think it through better? Is that something that you see as a benefit or of the team, or does it, it's just a bunch of kids?
Well, there's a lot of benefits that I've seen also the girls that I've coached all these years, you know. There's a lot. Most of these girls, they're not from broken homes. Not all of them are from there, you know, and not all of them are abused. There are some that we have dealt with that are abused. So then we had girls that, you know, became wiser and stronger throughout the time, throughout our football program, because they get a chance to experience outside of their home. They get a chance to experience going with other kids, meeting other girls, meeting other players, meeting other coaches, actually being scouted. And these girls, they actually benefit from it. They grow from it and say, okay, I'm going to go to my high school team, and I'm actually going to try for the softball team. No matter how bad it is, they're going to try for it. And they do. And sometimes they can see other ones, they're like, you know what, I'm going to build my own softball team in my high school, and let's see what my teachers say. And they do benefit from it, which is great. You know, I mean, yes, I've seen them grow, and I'm not going to lie, but I have seen some that have not flourished from it at all. They just took it as my softball program as a hangout. So they bring their boyfriends around and say, okay, see, I'm playing my mom. I'm not practice, but in actuality, I'm with my boyfriend. And it doesn't work that way with me because they forget that I have their mother's numbers, and if I don't see them at the practices, I'm going to ask their mother where were they. You know, and some of them, they don't take it as a benefit. You know, while I have a whole bunch that they move up, they go to college, they use softball, you keep on going from there. It's not only softball, it's a baseball program that my daughter's in too. It's called, you know, the Kids in Art Sports League. You know, it's all art, you know, and it's all baseball and softball into it. So, yes, I've seen a lot of kids that have benefited from this. And we have one baseball player who played for us. He now plays for the New York Yankees. So imagine how big he is right now. He just started pitching, I think, like a month ago. I was like, wait a minute, that kid sounds familiar. Well, he used to play for us. It wasn't even that long ago.
Good for you. That's something that I did notice the difference even in junior high when the children that were involved, the students that were involved with certain clubs, as much as they were just kids like anybody else, you know, certain things got to them a little quicker. You know, if a coach that they were on a team with or a dance instructor or a drama teacher or whoever their program instructor was to see them acting up in the hallway, they would get pulled aside a lot faster. They would get a little more self-conscious of what they were doing and sort of at least try to not let that teacher see them doing it. So, you know, there was a little bit of a conscious situation, their consciousness situation there. And the thing that I noticed is that those that weren't involved were a little bit more wilder. You know, they were just left to their own devices. They weren't interested at the time. I remember that quite a bit. So I see that children that are involved in something that's a structure, that has rules, that has discipline, that has team interaction, that has, you know, an obligation to a team or to the craft in order to succeed or in order to be involved, that got to them. You know, it got to them in a positive way. And while I'm not saying that, you know, the programs are a cure-all for anything, regardless of what the escape of that program provides for that person going through whatever, you still will have to get to the bottom of the problem. But at least it gives that child a forum to express themselves and not go out and want to, you know, bomb the schools.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives them something. It gives them something to look forward to. And maybe that was the words I should have used earlier. And I would rather, like I said, that children are addicted to going to play, you know, a basketball game, or they're dedicated to picking up a brush. And I'd rather hear people say, every time I see that kid, she's painting or she's writing, rather than say, every time I see them, she's texting. Every time I see them, she's with some guy or he's with some girl. I would rather that, because, you know, at least them being constantly in a sketching pad, they're blurring lines out, they're stretching this corner to make it a bigger gate, they're writing out a character that maybe was somebody that picked on them and they didn't feel that in life they had the courage to fight back, so they could fight back in a storybook that they're writing, because at least that's good. I know I used one of my stories to get back at an ex that was cheating. So it's one of those things where you get everything you would like to see happen your way. And you escape what hurts about the situation for that time without hurting anybody for yourself. And on top of that, you're actually extending your skills and your talents. So removing the arts can definitely have a direct impact on self-esteem. I'm going to take a small break, Elaine, and I will be back. And listeners, I thank you very much for hanging in there. I see a lot of you waving in and sitting on the caller panel. You know, it's okay. You don't have to call in, you know, comment in. It's okay for you to listen. I hope that what you're hearing is touching you in a positive manner, because that's what we strive for. I'll be back after Dave Howell's The Striving. Be back in 6 minutes.
Yeah. Little song we got called Striving. You got to keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you got to push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I'm sleeping, got his angels watching over me. Everything for me, looking out for me. Now tell me, how could it be?
No, sitting here all alone, I'm in the zone, I'm on the phone, trying to find a dial tone. Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all, till I heard a voice in my head. It said, keep pressing on, and keep striving, striving on.
Every day of the week, when I'm sleeping, got his angels watching over me.
In the street, for me, for me,
now for me.
Go wrong, keep your face strong and hold on. Yeah, try and you will see that Jesus Christ is reality. That's why he's real to me. He made a way.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are on the phone with Lady Diamond. We are discussing Beauty is a Beast, the lack of school arts having a direct effect on our children's self-esteem. As we had Mr. LV on earlier, and he brought up some very, very valid points where it is not about the kids nowadays simply having, it is not strictly about the children not having the arts that directly relate to their self-esteem or their failures or lack thereof successes, let's say it that way. It is more so the options for these children that are going through the bad home life or the self-esteem issue. A lot of these things, as he mentioned earlier, technology and commercials is what's driving and directing our children nowadays. But we know this. So having a little bit of what kept the previous, more successful generations focused with as an option that they can turn to when all the blurs of what the whirlwinds and the tornadoes they're spinning in comes to a stop is vital. It's vital. It's not that it's going to be a cure-all. By no means, that is not what this topic is about. By all means, that's not what my personal viewpoint is. My viewpoint on the matter is that if there are no options, then they're going to be able to fend for themselves or unable to, either way. Fending for themselves means that they can do it in a successful way where, despite what they had, they kind of made something good of themselves. Not being able to mean they were left to their own devices, and wherever the chips may fall, they fall. The arts left structure. The arts gave discipline. The arts gave them something to look forward to, somewhere to go be somebody, even if they had to keep their head down and in a book with a pencil or on a easel with a paintbrush or writing music or reading musical notes while they were playing an instrument. While being told by that instructor that if you don't keep up your grades and if I catch you in some bad activity, we have to cut you from this class. And making something mean something to them so that they can kind of guide their own choices. Have a better one of the angel and devil situations on the shoulder. That is what this message is supposed to be about. By all means, find something positive that you're good at and get out there and be the best at it. I can relate to what our previous guest said, where in college, he bought books that he didn't even use because he learned better his way. And nowadays, you don't have those teachers that are taking the time out to take out their red pens and actually cross it out. They're telling you to go stick it in spell check. They're telling you to go put your report through some plagiarism reading software rather than say to you that I know you got this from someplace else or you cited this wrongly, because if you don't do it the right way, it's going to look like you stole it from the man. Those options don't exist anymore. Now, couple that with the fact that we do have a technologically advanced, electronically guided society, because parents are younger or parents are a lot more pressed to be single and walk out there and try to make the best ends meet. This is what the arts does. When that child is upset because their parent has to work again, when that child is upset because the neighbor next door is richer than they are and is flaunting it in their face, they can feel like something when they go sit in a class or an arts class that they are involved with. And art not necessarily meaning drawing and painting. Lady Diamond spoke about being a softball coach and the things that she sees. And yes, children that are taught to be in a team environment, that you can be either for the team or you have to be out of the team, that even your small role plays a big link in the chain. And if you're not up to par, the team is not up to par. And if the team is not up to par, you're going to be the reason why. So, yeah, their mind starts to think a little more broadly, not just about what's in front of them and their few pickings left. As you were saying, Elaine, you agreed with my previous point about we may not have options to us, but we have to make options for us.
That's right.
On a previous segment, you spoke about when we're speaking about entrepreneurship and making it happen, that it starts with small steps. For example, you bake. You're an excellent craftswoman with food. So you said if there was a group activity going on in some community facility that, you know, you can go and sell what your goods are and then hopefully hear, start talking to people and hear something they might want to be doing. And each
right.
of you start a network that way. It does start small. Believe me, Wendy's was built because a guy who liked to eat didn't like the fact that he got skimpy burgers at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now a multi-billion-dollar company. Herbalife products started because the founder of that company had a mom that was trying to lose weight. And what happened was she kept taking every fad diet pill, liquid, juice that there was out there. Some of them had uppers, some of them had downers, and she wound up dying from a drug overdose trying to do all these things. So he made a vow after the grief of his mother that he was going to go out there and create natural from plants and not medicinal products to help people lose weight that would work for the body and not against it. And it wind up having an extra benefit where it started actually improving a lot of the users' health. I'm a living testimony to that. So getting to know what's behind the things that you pick up might work. And that is something that can be done in an arts program, because when you are a craftsman with an instrument, you learn the instrument, you learn sound, you learn how bad it sounds, you learn how good it sounds. You put your feeling into what you do. You make the best of the craft that you are in. You can be one of six saxophone players in a band, and what comes from you will make you unique. There are a million basketball players out there, but not everybody is a Michael Jordan. Why is that? Michael Jordan has his own personal way of branding himself. Everybody has their own unique perfection, their own unique prototype. And what better place for them to be able to express it through whatever they're going through than in a place that cultivates those arts? And being a part of something boosts anyone's self-esteem. Something to say, I'm responsible to, I have to do the lead guitar today in band. I have to be the person to come up with the chair on the cheerleading squad. Today it's on me. They gave me, they asked me to be the person to come up with, let's say, a picture for the class to learn from. Today I have to assist in teaching this class. Yes, there may be a lot of young, unknowing parents. There may be a lot of single-parent homes. Yes, there may be a lot of bad neighborhoods that you live in. But if there's nothing outside of what you see to say, I don't want to do that, I'm going to go and see what this is about. If there are no options still left for a person to go out there and say, let me see what that's about. That looks like something new. What options do you have but what's in front of you? If all I've ever been given to eat is Kraft macaroni and cheese in a box, I'm never going to know how to compare it to other types that are out there. If all I've ever been given to eat was American cheese, I will never know what Swiss cheese tastes like. And the art allows that person to have a variety of things go on. Exploration. Elaine, I want to ask you again because your reply was a little muffled based on the connection. Tell me and tell the listeners once again, in your softball team, do you find that your children are a lot better at problem solving, facing conflicts, making decisions, being a little more structured in character because of their obligations and the rules of the team?
Yes. Yes, I do. I see that they benefit a lot from that.
Do you find yourself being able to reach a child that's acting up a lot quicker than you would someone who wasn't part of the team.
So I reach out to both. So, I mean, even for someone who's not part of the team, I try to pull them into the team no matter what. For someone who is actively playing in my team, yeah, I do, it is easier for me to reach out to them because they're already with me. But for someone who's not in my team yet and I see how they are and I see that they have something in them, I pull them in. I try the best I can to pull them in so I can see a positive in them, not a negative.
Indeed. Wonderful, wonderful situation. It is something. I've seen a lot of kids that are in something, be it the dance group, be it the basketball group that meets at the end of the day. Right now, where the team went to go see that basketball game in the park out here in Queens, when we made the appearance, that was something that a local agency started up just recently. I have never seen so many kids that I used to see standing on the corner looking to see which car they were going to throw a rock at.
Mm-hmm.
Be so dedicated and so anxious to be a part of what was coming up. I see more children in that park now that's not there just to be mobbed. They're there to practice for the next competition. And there was a politician that's involved with it that I found to be very passionate, sincerely from his heart, about the program. And I found that to be a refreshing change and something that the children in this neighborhood hasn't had for quite some time. And it's like the old school. So don't tell me, America, don't tell me people out there who's grumbling about all the things that used to be in the yesteryear as not trying, that doing something and making that first innovative step doesn't lead places. And kids, you teens that are listening, and I do appreciate those of you that actually reached out and inboxed me and let me know that you were listening. I want to let you know it starts with you. It starts with you. It starts with you. It might start with you doing something for you and why your friends wonder why you don't hang out in the malls as much as you used to. And you can tell them, because I'm trying this new thing and I want to get good at it. And then you'll never know. You'll probably get laughed at. You're always doing your thing. Oh, you're always out there. Oh, go ahead, music boy. Oh, go ahead, you know, writer girl. All that might start, but when it starts to go someplace, people will start listening. Now, the question is, are you willing to go through that and stick it out? Because at the end of that, believe me, what always starts out like it's never going to end usually ends. People who went through the worst humiliation in high school, if they survive and grow older and become parents, they can laugh about it or they can relate to it. So at the end of all those thickets and at the end of all the thorns, are you ready to smell the roses? And this is somebody speaking from experience right now. Even now as we speak, we are developing projects that we're getting a lot of head-butting closed doors to. But we're still trying because you know why? It started out our first week of 107 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even 6 months into the podcast, and we're at 11,107 because we believe in this mission and what we're doing.
That's right.
And we got a lot of people telling us, oh, you don't do anything anymore. Oh, you're doing that radio show. Oh, go ahead with yourself. I've gotten that from family. I've gotten it from friends.
Amen.
Until they started seeing all the things that start coming too from it. So
that's right.
Anything that's going to be worth having and anything that's going to last is never easy to get started and it's never quickly developed. Never. Because anything that's worth being a long-standing project is going to take a lot of tweaking, a lot of editing, a lot of going back, scrapping the first half and starting all over. It's going to take that. It's going to take a lot of your friends walking away. It's going to take a lot of your family giving you the ridicule. It's going to take a lot of people not understanding how you can give up so much for something that's not a definite. But you are the one that's going to have to make it a definite. You. And it starts with you, because if you start looking for people on the outside to validate who you are, you're never, ever going to be able to be solid and straight, because nobody is ever pleased all the time. No one.
That's right.
Nobody is pleased. For those of you that don't know, Michael Jackson, biggest pop star there was. Most brilliant entertainer, memorable. Everybody knows him, whether they could speak English, can speak at all. People crying, billions of fans screaming, fainting, falling out, crying just at the sight of it. A man that was like a serenity on stage was very insecure with himself, chopped his face up, had to go this and that, because why? He got told that he was too much of a big-nosed person, that his face was full of zits as a kid by the one person or one of the two people that should have had his back at all times. So without that stage, he was nothing to himself. Where do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And for those teachers that are out there that lost your jobs teaching these arts, why not find these kids who are still interested? You guys know how to read those children that are troubled on the outside but are good on the inside. Why not go and start to find a network where you can recreate these projects and these programs into the communities and bring these kids a place to go?
That's
maybe the church doors will start opening up again. Maybe these politicians will start finding what you're doing, something to call a hook, and maybe you'll start getting funding that way.
Yeah, these politicians right now, they're on the edge. They want votes. So this is a great opportunity right now to catch them at their weakest point, because they want you, and if not you, because these are teenagers, most of them, adults, they want these adults to vote for them. This is a great opportunity right now to get them.
Indeed. Before we end up the broadcast this evening, I want to send out a get well wish to Deacon Zeddy Williams. He's not feeling well. He inboxed me earlier to let me know he wouldn't make the panel tonight. Deacon, get well. You are definitely sorely missed on this panel. The things that you are an activist for out there in Toledo, Ohio, we are hoping that you get better quickly, and we look forward to having you back on. So please feel better. God bless you, and, you know, come back soon, okay? All right. I want to say another repeat shout-out, but this is for a different reason. Mr. Barry Mason and Mr. Jay Dixon and Mr. Loris Milligan, three people that actually was, even though I was already pretty ambitious in my age now, that having met these three, they've given me so much, because the little bit that they've given back from being the type of people who were ambitious and who believe in the arts and who believe that every child is great, and Mr. Cecil J., he's out there talking the same. Those people are like the old schoolers that haven't gone anywhere. And I don't mean old in age. I mean from that era of the last successful generation that had the drive and had to really compete against other people to get their mark where they are and still find time to be people, just be humankind people, and want to give other people their input for free or without looking for their handout in return. On the Edge show has God and them to thank for where it's come, because through them, I have been able, and my team has been able, to spread our wings based on the things that we see that on the outside, civilians looking at them believe that they're great. Mr. Mason refuses to let anybody ever call him great, even though I tell him all the time that God made him great and he needs to claim it and thank God for that. Dolores, just a wonderful person. Jay Dixon, the most down-to-earth person that you could ever meet. And when you speak to these people, they talk to you as if they're just people trying to give you a heads up. This is what needs to happen. This is the type of people that our children need now. These are the type of people that used to run these arts programs that have been so brutally and nastily cut. And this is what made our generation be the last well-balanced generation. We do know problem conflicts. We do know, you know, problem resolving. We do know conflict resolution. We do know how to face adversities and not blow the hell up on the inside. to the point of self-destruction. We do know how to look at something on TV and balance out the fact that it's mostly fantasy. And we were able to say, without a doubt, that as much as I wish I could be that, I'm me, what can I do with me now? That is the one thing we had. And the other thing that we had was we had parents who were parents. We had teachers who cared. We had neighbors who were nosy. We had church doors that were always open. We had criminals that had a conscience and some respect and some reverence for things that were of authority and of holy. We had cops that were in the business for the job, for what it was, for what it meant to the community. And all of these things have been taken away from our children now. And the thing is, economic problems cause parents to be away from their dinner tables a lot more. And by the time they come home, they can get a quick, oh, great, honey, how was your day, and go right to bed to get up and go right to the jungle all over again. Not that they want to. And, of course, we're not talking about the ones that we have blatantly seen out there that are doing their best to forget that they're aging. And I don't mean aging badly. I just mean getting older.
Hmm.
We're not speaking on them. Those that are out there putting that image forward, that is what you're being known by. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, please leave them at the doorstep. But truth be told, our youth today need as many options as they can find. Our youth today needs a little bit of what old school has had. We need to give our children back the options of being a well-balanced generation. We need to stop asking them to meet these high expectations. Yes, everybody, sorry, cyberspace drop. Once again, my apologies. We're down to our last 2 minutes in the segment. Let me say to all of you teens that are listening, thank you for listening in and choosing us over a rap song at this moment. Thank you for listening to us instead of going out there to get in trouble. Jennifer, I did get your email. I will email you the links after the show, dear. No problem. And to the rest of you that's out there listening, we need to give our children back a little bit of the old school options that we had that made us the last well-balanced generation. Those of you that are out there with aspirations, find somebody out there that's been in the field you're looking for and cherish what they have to say if they give you the grace of giving you their time, because what they have to say will benefit you. They've been there. They can give you foresight, things that you don't have at this moment. Lady Diamond, sweetheart, thank you very much for all that you always give, for being my team member. Monster Miles, if you're out there listening, thank you, baby boy, for being the wonderful backbone that you are. I appreciate you guys very much, and we're going to make this thing go. We're going to make this go. We're going to keep going out there and reaching. So until tomorrow night at 8:30, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, okay? See you tomorrow, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.